And don't you just love the music? I love the music of 4th of July. It's wonderful. And I love 4th of July. I don't know about you, but it's one of my favorite holidays because it really speaks to my heart. It represents taking risks and letting go of our small, limited thinking and soaring into freedom. And the 4th of July, you may not think it's a really big holiday, but, you know, when you think about taking an idea that has not yet, declaring a thing that has not yet come into form, and then stepping back and watching the youth ministry program take form. Or declaring that we will meet and exceed the Easter match, and then stepping back and watching us exceed the Easter match. I mean, you take an idea, you declare a thing, an idea from Spirit, and then you begin to step back and watch as it begins to take form. You declare it, you describe it, and you put yourself into, and then you begin to live being that idea so you can embody that idea so it can come forth with ease and with grace. 235 years ago, a group of men got together and made a declaration. You know, nowhere could they point to a free country in the world. You know, they couldn't say, well, over here, you know, they tried it and it worked. No, because it didn't. There was nothing that they could look at. But they did have the courage to say, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Isn't that amazing? They couldn't see anything, but they held these truths to be self-evident because these ideas came from within them. And there wasn't anything apparent outside of themselves to look at. And so we need to recognize that within us, there is this presence and this power, the Christ of God, the God bringing forth into expression, into form, things that we cannot now see. That sometimes we look at and we go, what? How could that possibly work out? But if we just step back and watch and trust and have faith in the invisible presence and the power of Spirit working in and through our lives, wonderful, miraculous, incredible things can and will happen. And so there wasn't anything apparent, but our second unity principle is what? There's a divinity within us that is guiding us every moment, every step of the way. Jesus taught it. He said the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is where? Within. He said you don't have to die to find heaven. You know, you experience it right here and now when you understand that that we live and move in this inexhaustible resource of Spirit. You might look at your life and go, whoa, I don't see it yet. But just hang in there. Do your work. Do your prayer. Do your meditation. And then step back and watch as this presence begins to move and unfold your life. Because the more we can declare the Christ, this divine presence that is working through us, the more we can declare this, the more it will begin to unfold within us and the more self-evident it will become in our lives. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. In many different ways, he said, ask, you know, declare a thing and it will become established for you. 6 months before the Declaration of Independence was written, Thomas Paine, a Quaker, and that's important to note. He wrote a little booklet called, not so little, I was reading it the other day, and there's a screen of stuff, and, you know, it was called Common Sense. And it was the first time ever it was written down that it's common sense that we should rule ourselves. And this little book, this booklet, it was a great influence on Thomas Jefferson in his writing of the Declaration of Independence. And what Thomas Paine said was, it's common sense that we should rule ourselves. It's just plain common sense. And where did that common sense come from? The silence. It came out of the silence from him sitting in that silence as a Quaker. It's self-evident that it's common sense that we should rule ourselves. It's just common sense. And so Thomas Paine went on to write that we have it in our power to begin the world over again. I love that. You know, out of the silence, when Thomas Paine was sitting in the silence, you know, the strength, that wisdom came forth from within him. And your ability to transform your life comes from the silence. The ability to be a beneficial presence in this world depends on your ability to really attune to this divine presence within you. And I don't know of any better way than in the silence. So out of the silence, Thomas Paine here, and I love this, he said a situation similar to the present. Now remember, he's writing this booklet 6 months before the Declaration of Independence. He says a situation similar to the present has not happened since the days of Noah. And I love this part. The birthday of a new world is at hand. The birthday of a new world is at hand. And that was true 235 years ago, and I don't know about you, but I agree with it strongly today. Because we can more and more say, can't we, that the birthday of a new world is at hand. Now, we're being challenged right now in many different ways to really begin to recognize that we are one people, we are one world. And it just takes one person standing up and declaring, let's make poverty history. And, you know, declare a thing and it shall be established for you. And so poverty can be history if one person is willing to stand up and have the courage to say, let's make it history. You know, how did we become free? It was because a group of people were willing to have the courage to stand up and risk their fortune, their honor, and their lives. I mean, our founding fathers, when they signed that Declaration of Independence, had we not won, they would all have been dead. It was an act of treason for them to sign that document. And so today I want us to ask ourselves a few questions. You know, what is this birthday that we're celebrating? What is it all about? What is this revolution of values that we have to have in order for this new birth to take place? What has to happen in order for us to be able to live in a world that works for everyone? No one is left out. And what has to happen in consciousness for us to begin to live in this overflow of abundance that is always here around us that we've been talking about for the last month, this overflow of infinite supply? Because there's no lack of God anywhere on the planet except in our consciousness. And so what are the values that run your life? I want to look at this today because the values that whatever you highly value, they directly influence your thinking. Whatever you highly value will form your character and inform the choices that you make. And so I want to challenge us to take a look at what are the values that are running your life. And some of them may not be worthy of a child of God, you know, but what values are operating in your life? What is this revolution of values? I want to take a look at this. The first one, many Americans today have their primary value as safety. Now, if safety is your primary concern, then you don't have to dig very deep in your consciousness to find fear. Would you agree? You know, we have seen that quite a bit in the last couple of years, is that fear is running our lives. There are a lot of very, very scared people in the world. And so if fear is running your life, if it's operating within you, then, you know, it's very easy to look and see things to be afraid of in the world, right? And if we're driven by fear of aging, fear of loss of money, fear of being alone, whatever your fear is, when we're driven by fear, then we get stuck and we can't catch that greater vision of spirit flowing through our lives. So take a look and see if if fear isn't operating in your life, and that if safety isn't your primary concern. Now, I'm not talking about physical abuse here. Of course, if somebody is in an abusive relationship, your first primary concern is getting to safety. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking for most of us here. Because the truth is that you are safe. You are safe. And you are an eternal being. And so we need to look at this value of safety and begin to transform it into knowing that you are safe and you are an eternal being. Now, what about hedonism? Is feeling good your primary concern? It is for a lot of people. And that's when we'll find addictions, and it doesn't have to just be to alcohol or to drugs. It can be to TV, to shopping, to working. And when we operate from these, you know, I have to feel good, then we shut down the flow of life, because what we're primarily concerned about is, do I feel good and what's in it for me? It drives a lot of people these days. But the truth is that when you're serving spirit, you know, when you're living, you know, in the flow of life, you will feel good. And it's not because feeling good is your primary concern, but it's a result of living a life of service, of surrendering to God. And so we then take the value of hedonism or feeling good, because we're a feel-good society, do you agree? But we have to transform that into serving spirit and living a life of service, and the outcome then is feeling good. What about materialism? Is your primary concern and value materialism? You know, and if it is, then you will be all about getting more stuff, accumulating more stuff, and you'll never feel like you have enough. And if you scratch the surface, you'll probably find some thoughts and beliefs in lack and limitation. Now, when we look at America, we look at the wealth and abundance, but we're not the most generous country in the world. Now, that may be an eye-opener to some of you, but the per capita giving, we give a lot, but the per capita giving in the United States is about 27, somewhere around 27 on the list. And so we're not very generous in our giving in America. And we need to look at that, because the truth is we live and move in the infinite, inexhaustible source of all that knows no limits. It knows no limits. And so we need to take the materialism, the focus on being concerned so much about getting stuff. And we need to transform it into knowing that we live and move in the infinite, inexhaustible supply of spirit that knows no limits. And so begin to look in your life to see, you know, is fear running your life? You know, is your primary concern about feeling good? You know, are you focused on materialistic and, you know, and consumerism and getting more stuff? Because you'll need to do a little bit of transformation there. And then religion, another good subject that is of, you know, high value to some people. But you listen to people talking about religion on TV and you get the idea that there's some kind of superstition, right? But the truth is that God never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is always loving and supporting. You know, God is always supporting us. God is never, you know, doesn't have mood swings. No, and God doesn't have favorites. God has no favorites. And God is not angry, although you listen to some preachers on TV and you think their God needs anger management control. Because the truth is, God is love, right? God is love, and God is always giving. So we need to transform, you know, our value on religion into valuing spirituality, right? And that's what we do in Unity. It's not the dogma and the doctrine. It's the spirituality within you, knowing that God is love. And that God is always giving. And so we need to develop a value system that is aligned with spirit all the time. All the time. That can only love all the time, because it makes common sense, doesn't it? It makes common sense to trust the infinite. It makes common sense to trust this new birth that is trying to emerge from within us. It just makes common sense. Dr. Martin Luther King spoke of the beloved community. And he said it would take a qualitative change in our souls as well as a quantitative state change in our lives. It would take a qualitative change in our souls as well as a quantitative change in our lives to create this beloved community. And that makes common sense, right? And it makes common sense that you can't have a fifth of your population going to bed every night hungry. Does that bother you? It certainly bothers me. I mean, if you had a neighbor or you had a child or knew of a child that was going to bed hungry, I don't think there's a person in this room that wouldn't do something about it. Or look at our veterans. You know, they come home from war and they're not given the honor and the recognition that they deserve. You know, sometimes they don't even get the help in transitioning back into, you know, this normal life, if you can call it normal. When the Declaration of Independence was signed 235 years ago, only a third of the people thought that the idea of freedom was worth risking anything for. A third of the people were concerned about just making ends meet, just the basics. And a third of the people, they were just very happy with the status quo. So it's not about, it's never been about getting the whole world to go with us. That's not going to happen. But what it is about, what it's always been about, is those few that are willing to catch the vision and then make that stand, have the courage to risk everything for the good of all, because it makes common sense to do it. And so, wake up. We need to wake up and know that you can and you do make a tremendous difference. And we need, it makes common sense for us to really look at, you know, what is God's vision calling us to do? What is God's vision for my life? We need to catch that vision. And so I'd like to ask you a few questions. You know, what is God asking you to do? What is Spirit asking you to do? Take these questions into prayer. Find out, what is Spirit asking you to do? You know, what is God's vision for your life? What is God's vision? God has a vision and a plan for you. And I hope you know what it is. And you discover it by sitting in the silence, because that's where your strength and wisdom comes from and your ability to transform your life. It's from that silence. And then we need to ask, what is God calling you to become? What is God calling you to become? Because what you're being called to become also kind of says that there's some things you've got to let go of. And you've got to be willing to release the stuff that's standing in your way of being all that God created you to be. And then we need to ask ourselves, what am I willing to declare for my life? What are you willing to declare your life to be? Because we know that as we make that declaration, everything in the universe works to begin to bring it forth in our life. And so today, you know, declare a revolution in consciousness. You know, kick out those old ideas of lack and limitation, of negativity and self-doubt and fear. And instead, affirm for yourself that I am a child of the universe. I am a divine, infinite child of the universe, created, you know, in wholeness and perfection, abundantly provided for. Because that's the truth of who you are. You know, be grand, be marvelous. And declare what you want your world to be. And then be willing to shift your vision so you can have it. You can step into it. Because when you do that, your world will be transformed. And you will soar into freedom. God bless you. Have a great and a wonderful and a safe, happy 4th of July.